God is amazing in the things that he does. And I'm going to jump right in, share just a few minutes, and then I'll introduce them. But we've been talking, as you know, over the last 4 weeks about the kingdom, what the kingdom comprises, all of the elements or some of the elements of the kingdom, what Jesus purchased for us is given to us in this kingdom. And one of those are healing. Healing is one of the aspects of the kingdom. Isn't that amazing? It's interesting to me that in Jesus's day, that when Jesus would go around and he would heal people, the news of that would spread around like it would today. People start being drawn to him. Even the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the religious people, they could not deny this healing that was taking place that Jesus was doing. And they seemed to be somewhat okay with it until he started talking about forgiveness of sins and eternal life. When he started to talk about that and healing on the Sabbath, it's okay to heal, but not on Saturday. And it's not good to say that you could forgive sins or someone can be forgiven or have eternal life. That really riled up the Pharisees. Fast forward 2,000 years, and that's flip-flopped. Religious people are good with believing that God forgives sins and gives eternal life, but to heal? No, that died 2,000 years ago, right? That's just done a flip-flop. When the reality is that Jesus has always healed, and he still does, and he still forgives, and he still gives eternal life. Everything is still together. Everything is still going on there. One didn't die out because the last apostles died, right? Or the first apostles, I should say. Once the first apostles died, that didn't mean that the gifts of the Spirit died or the power of God died. My goodness sakes, we need the power of God more than ever, right? Jesus healed people who followed him. He healed people who asked him to heal them. He healed the friends of people that brought them to him. He even healed those who weren't quite sure what they wanted. Remember the man, 38 years in his sickness? And Jesus says, you know, what would you like to do for me? And he starts saying, well, there's an angel that comes and the waters are stirred. He didn't give an answer that was proper. Jesus healed him anyway. It's not difficult for Jesus to heal. Zero difficult level for him. And how about this one? A woman who did not get permission to get healed pulled it out of Jesus' clothing. As she crawled behind him and created theology that if I just touch him, I will be healed. And Jesus answered that faith without even being conscious of it. How about that one? It's true. Matthew 4:24 is one of my favorite scriptures. I'm going to read this together. The news about him spread throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all who were ill, those suffering from various diseases and pains, and the demoniacs, epileptics, paralytics, and he healed them. It didn't matter what kind of disease, sickness that came to Jesus, guess what? If you brought it, you can get rid of it. If you've got it, it can be gone. I like this in the Passion. Let's read this verse 23 and 24, same passage, but in the Passion translation. It says, he taught in the synagogues, preaching the hope of the kingdom realm, which is what we've been talking about, and healing every kind of sickness and disease among the people. His fame spread everywhere. Many people who were in pain and suffering with every kind of illness were brought to Jesus for their healing. Epileptics, paralytics, and those tormented by demonic powers were all set free. Everyone who was brought to Jesus was healed. Wow. Come on. We don't have a passage in the scripture of someone coming to Jesus to get healed who wasn't. That's just the reality of the scriptures. Isn't that incredible? There's no limit to the power of God. And there's no limit to his love that power comes through. For us today, yesterday, forever, Jesus is the same, right? He brought us this kingdom. He paid for it in his own body. And in his own body, as we were just singing about, he took stripes on his back, which paid for our healing. That was prophesied of him by Isaiah. And it was completed through the person of Jesus. And he gave us this ministry, this love, this power to heal. Even though Jesus returned to heaven temporarily, he left his kingdom here to live within us for us to spread it. And to release, he said, whatever you have received, freely give away. You have it, you can give it away. You've been given it freely, you can give it away. But you know what? We have to become childlike to receive something in this kingdom. A lot of other kingdoms, you have to have something else to get something in that kingdom. Maybe you got to know somebody special or have money or certain amount of knowledge or education or power or prestige or something. But in the kingdom of heaven, here's Jesus describes how we receive things in his kingdom. Childlike faith. Isn't that interesting? In fact, he said that we have to be converted and become like a child to receive anything that he has to give. Childlike faith. A child, think about a child. Their faith is so simple and full of joy. It's not striving and stressed out. They are not, your kids, especially when they are little, they have zero concern about, are they going to eat? Will you feed them? Are you a good enough parent to allow them to stay in their house or to feed them or to clothe them or to give them some places to sleep? That is not a question. They have this childlike belief and trust in you. And we are to have that same childlike trust and faith in the one who's given us everything and wants to give us everything. Luke 12 says, the Father gladly gives us the kingdom. Gladly does it. We don't have to twist his arm. We're given these things gladly. The angel Gabriel came to Mary, and here's one thing he said to her: nothing will be impossible with God. Not one thing. There's nothing impossible with God. Boy, the enemy, the devil, is a liar, first off. He's a deceiver, second. Then he's a murderer, he's a killer, right? All of those things. He has tried and continues to try to strip and reduce the power of the kingdom and the power of the Holy Spirit all along. Once the Holy Spirit came on the scene, then he's worked through the religious spirit to try and diminish who God is and what he has to give for you and I. He's been successful in many places. I have had many people come to me. I have been in some churches who will teach that the gifts of the Spirit are actually the demonic. Think about that. The Holy Spirit that God sent with his full range of gifts and power as gifts to us to heal, to set free, to deliver. And the enemy says, no. We have to convince them that that has died and that's of the devil now. When there's not one passage in the scripture that says that's happened. In fact, it's exact opposite. Acts chapter 2, this promise is for you and your children and those who are far off. Or what God has given to us. I'm pretty certain too that the people in the first century didn't need the power of God any more than we do, right? We need him today. We need him today desperately. The whole world needs him. A couple of quick things here about the nature of God, which I think is so essential. How we believe in here about who God is and what he's like is so important for how we relate to him and what we can receive. If we see him in a certain light that's not accurate, that like a religious spirit would want to see him, then it will restrict what we receive from him and what we believe and what we go after. If he is a father that is mean and punitive, if he is a God that is angry more than he's happy, all of those things, then it restricts what I will believe because I most of the time won't feel like I measure up to receive anything. But if I believe the truth of what the Father's really like, of what God is really like. Then I can have this childlike faith to believe and trust and receive. Here are some Old Testament passages about the nature of God. Exodus 15, verse 26 says, I am the Lord, your healer. He is speaking to Israel as they're coming out of slavery and bondage in Egypt for all of those years. And he's trying to show them who he is and to reveal to them his nature. And one of the first things he says to them is, I'm your healer. This is the Old Testament. I'm your healer. Exodus 23, 25. But you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water, and I will remove sickness from your midst, it says. I will remove sickness from your midst. This is the old covenant, which the Bible says is a shadow and an example of things to come. It's the imperfect that is pointing toward the perfect, which is the person of Jesus, who's the perfect representation of the Father, right? So anything related to the nature of God, that comes in perfection through the person of Jesus. And so if God is our healer, the one who removes sickness, then what about Jesus? Absolutely, he's the fulfillment of this, of giving of healing, of being the healer for us. Psalm 103 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. Don't forget any of them. You need to remind yourself sometimes of his benefits. It says, don't forget one of his benefits. Who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. Isaiah 53:5 is a prophecy, says this, but he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole and was whipped so we could be healed. The greatest picture of God are the, I believe, is the actions of Jesus. The actions of Jesus demonstrate and reflect the heart of God. So we know what God's like by what Jesus did. We know what God's like by what Jesus said. We know what God's like and how he responds by how Jesus responded. So I know what he's like right now. I know that his heart was to heal people. His heart was to set people free. So part of the difficulty is for you and I, there are several conflicts, and I've got my own I'll talk about. Some of these conflicts that we have are right up here in our mind, and some of it comes through experience. I would say most people, most believers, let me say this, most believers on the planet would say, regardless of their denomination, they would probably say God has the power to heal if he wanted to, right? People don't feel like God is limited in power. But the other side of that is, most people, this is where it gets different, is does he want to? Does he want to? So what about that question? That can be one of the big issues related to us even praying or asking. You're not going to have faith if you're not sure he wants to, right? If you're not sure, how can you muster up faith? How can you have faith to believe that he wants to give it to you? So we have to, there needs to be a certainty. There needs to be something in our heart that is aligned with what he feels like and what he's like. And we're not the first ones to have this struggle. In Luke chapter 5, verse 12, says, while he was in one of the cities, behold, there was a man covered with leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and implored him. And he said, Lord, he called him Lord, if you are willing, if you're willing, you can make me clean. That's the exact same thing that's going on right now. He knew that he could. This man had the faith that he could heal him. But he was unsure about one other thing. Was he willing to? Would he release some of that goodness? Would that power come out of him, of his own will? And I love how Jesus responded. I'm telling you what, as Jesus is a reflection of the Father and the heart of God, his response is one that I remind myself of often. I love this. Before he said something, he did something. And he stretched out his hand and touched him. A leper in that day, a leper in that culture was untouchable, should be outside the camp, away from other people. He is an outcast, looked down upon, rejected, all of those things, and you certainly don't touch him. He said, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus, without a word first, he reaches out his hand and he touches the untouchable man. That communicated something before any word was ever said. And he said, I am willing. Be cleansed. That easy. Be cleansed. And immediately the leprosy left him. I love that about Jesus. He was showing him that he not only had the power, but he wanted to. What if you and I had that same revelation? Think about that just for a second. If we had that same revelation that not only does God have the power, but he wants to. It's in his heart to give this. Jesus said it's in the Father's heart to gladly give us the kingdom. We then get to choose to believe if it is also in Jesus' heart to give us healing or to release healing through us for someone else. That is a faith decision. There is an element there where we need to either believe that, and if we don't, we don't. But if we do, nothing is impossible. We can then walk in the words of Jesus of John 14, 12. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, shall you do also. And greater works than these shall you do because I'm going to the Father. Wow. But we have to believe that he wants to. I have to believe that my Father's good, that he's great, that he's wonderful, that Jesus gave us this, not to show off and to prove that he was God, as many teach. I don't believe Jesus healed people because he was proving that he was God. He healed people because he loved people, because he loves you, because compassion welled up in his heart and he said, I want them to be whole. I want them to be healed. This is not a check. This is not a, hey, look at me. No. He loves, and so through that love comes healing. Through that love comes power. And then this other difficulty, this other thing that's really hard at times. Why hasn't he healed me and others I've prayed for? I've got that same question. I have seen many, many healings. I've also seen many times where people weren't healed. I've got three things right now I'm praying for healing for myself that I haven't seen happen yet. And those things are difficult because you're going, why? I've seen it over here and then not over here. I don't understand it. I believe, but I don't understand this. I think Paul had a similar difficulty. You realize that? Said he had that thorn in the flesh. He asked the Lord three times to take that thing away. Don't know if it ever did. Perhaps it did. Don't know why that one in particular was staying there. But here's some of the things I do know is that sometimes there are blocks in our understanding and in our faith that restrict and keep what God wants to do for us from happening. Some of it are these mindsets like the one we just talked about. If I don't think he's willing to or wants to, that's a block. That's a block right there. Another one is just plain doubting. I'll never forget this moment when I invited these guests to stay in my house once, and at the dinner table, we began praying, and this demon began manifesting in this person. I was not prepared for that. It was an awkward dinner. And as I began to pray for him, as I could feel faith rise as I was praying, and I could, there would like this peace that would come over him, and then I would doubt. I like Peter walking on water, and then all of a sudden I started looking at the waves. And I would start to sink, and then I could see that and feel that demon-like having greater, not power necessarily, but just a voice in those moments. And there was this, inside of me was this roller coaster of faith. until I finally just rose up and said no, and then just went after this, and this demon left this person. But there was a struggle inside of me. There was a battle. And if I would just quit or give up, then the enemy wins. Sometimes some of the blocks that we have are quitting too soon. Not seeing it in the timing that we want, and so we then give up and don't believe or think God must not want to, right? We can go back to that. He's unwilling because it didn't happen in my timing. Rather than pushing through and believing and praying again, even, you know, that blind guy one time came to Jesus. Jesus prayed for him, laid his hands on him. Actually, I think he made some spit, some stuff, put it in his eyes, prayed for him. He said, what do you see? He said, I see men like trees. Jesus said, let's pray again. This is Jesus. He didn't quit right there. He prayed for him again. He said, now what do you see? Then he could see clearly. Sometimes things are a process. Sometimes you have to pray a couple times. Sometimes you just keep, you know, if I did this actually right now, I know that's annoying, but if I just kept doing this for, say, years, eventually some of the bolts would start coming loose and this thing would fall apart. Sometimes there's that persistence. Sometimes there's that pressing through. Sometimes it's days or years. One of the things I've been praying for is over 20 years. Or something. Another one is 14 years. Sometimes it's past experiences that block to us. We had a bad experience, so we throw everything away. Or we have no experience, so we throw that away. Don't want to do those things. What if we went by the word? What if we went by what Jesus did and said? What if we went by the things that are promised to us? Instead of explain them away in an intellectual way due to no experience or bad experience, and held on to the goodness of God and the love that everything flows through. Okay, I want to introduce a couple of people. Actually, several, three. Eric, why don't you come on up? This is Eric Hamm. Many of you know who Eric is, and you've seen him around here and his beautiful wife, Joy. The Pinchers have been with us for a long time. I say of Joy, she's the most appropriately named person that I know. She is full of joy. And so is Eric. And when I got to meet him and then to see at your wedding was amazing. It was full of joy. There's a lot of dancing at their wedding. And then I heard your story. I'll let you hold this. And so let me ask you a couple questions here. Sure. So tell me what condition you had a while back.
Sure. In 2009, I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. And by 2011, I'd had some major exacerbations where I was actually using electric wheelchair part of the time. I was walking with the cane. So it got bad. I had to quit my jobs and everything.
So anything before 2009, what did you see? Was there like a progression of things in your body that was not good, that you got worse and worse type?
Sure. Well, I went in high school. I was the second kid in my high school history to run faster than a 50-second 400-meter dash.
Wow.
And I ran on track scholarship for 4 years at Indiana Wesleyan. I actually think one of my best friends, Dan, came today who ran with me.
Okay.
But I was starting to have some issues in track where my last race I ever ran was slower than when I ran when I was 14 years old. So I was like, something's wrong. But over time, eventually I got that diagnosis.
So things started getting worse, then you went and that diagnosis came. Is there any cure to MS in the natural?
They don't have a medical cure for multiple sclerosis.
So then you found yourself in a wheelchair, and I would imagine pretty discouraged, maybe some hopelessness in there, I'm not sure. You can't work anymore. Mm-hmm. And how old were you at the time?
So that was about 25, 26 years old.
Yeah.
And I definitely felt like the leper who's like, okay, I know that God is able to heal me, but I definitely grew up, is it his will? Like, should you push that type thing? And I didn't even know what it meant to go, what a spirit-filled church was. I actually just walked into a spirit-filled church down the road and an 80-year-old guy stopped me and he was like, the way he said, what are you doing walking with that stick, you know, boy? And so I said, well, I have multiple sclerosis. You know, they don't have a cure. It only gets worse. And without knowing my name, he just He said, Jesus said that you'll have whatever you say you have. Mm-hmm. So he said, if you keep saying that you have MS, there's no cure, it only gets worse. He said, as a man thinks in his heart, you know, power of life and death is in the tongue. So he right there, he was the first one that had stopped and laid hands on me and said, be healed in Jesus' name. And then he told me, now go do something you couldn't do before. Like he required an action right after.
So you just went to, you were going to church.
Yeah.
This guy who you hadn't met before mm-hmm. comes up to you, says these things to you.
Mm-hmm.
And then he prays for you.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happened?
So it was a little confusing because when he prayed for me, I felt like power, energy come on me.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember I went behind the church and I was kind of trying to run to see if I had my strength back. And so I went back to him. I said, I felt something, but you know, I've still kind of got some of these issues. And he said, well, Jesus told 46 parables and only one does he say, if you don't understand this parable, you won't understand any of them. And he said, that's where God's word is like a seed. So he said, if you went and planted a kernel of seed in your backyard one day, do you go out the next day saying, where's the corn? This didn't, you know.
Right.
He said, instead you have to continue watering it. You have to pull weeds. You know, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So, and that was when he told me as well. He said, God sent his word and healed them. This is what it talks about in Psalms. So I printed off all these scriptures about healing and every day started like repeating those scriptures. And it was a process of renewing my mind, you know, changing my mind to this is God's will. This is his promises that are yes and amen.
So you weren't necessarily feeling anything on a day-to-day basis for a while, or were you?
He said that it definitely planted the seed.
Yeah.
And actually I had never prayed I'd never been baptized by the Holy Spirit, but I was like, God, I need something at this point in my life. So actually, as I started, you know, praying in the Spirit every day, starting to have more of a desire for God's word, it was a progressional thing.
Yep.
To where I'm not at 100% yet, but I'm 1,000 miles from, you know, being in a wheelchair, not being able to work.
So you saw a progression. Was it daily or weekly or monthly, perhaps?
I'd say it's over months. You know, I'd even still say to right now, I've been having like recent breakthroughs that I haven't been able to do for a long time. So it's like
you soon got out of the wheelchair.
Right.
After that, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then you have a job?
Yes, sir.
Awesome. So you have a job again.
Yeah.
So everything's going the other direction. And you find yourself still sometimes in a battle?
Absolutely. And I feel like what God's kind of revealed to me like in this, because it's been like, I want 100%. I know he who began a good work will be faithful to complete. And I felt like what God revealed to me is he said, Eric, you're in the promised land now. You're fighting off giants. So don't, you know, the battle's not over, but don't quit until it's
hang on to
complete.
This.
Yeah, and he does say, let the weak say, I'm strong. You know, and James talks about our tongue being a rudder. So I can remember at my weakest point, actually, my buddy Dan, who's here, he and his wife used to come and help doing grocery shopping, pulling, you know, there's times I couldn't pull the trash bag out of the can. And my favorite verse, or one of my favorites when I felt weak, was that the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Like I said, so many times, that God just up and brought a Proverbs 31 woman named Joy into my life.
Yeah, that's amazing. It's true. It's incredible. So, was it, you say 2011 when you were in the wheelchair?
Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. So from there to now, describe the difference physically.
It's been interesting. I mean, I had a point where I had to wear ice vests because with MS, you can't tolerate the heat. Mm-hmm. But I felt God was calling me to go on a YWAM missionary experience. And I remember I was praying like, let the outreach be like Iceland or Greenland or something, because I needed like that cold weather. But no, it was Angola, Africa, on the equator. And I can remember the director was like, Eric, I know this could be an issue. Like, is this, you don't feel like you needed it. But I kind of thought, God, you're calling me to like step out of the boat on this like matter. And when we were in Africa is when my sweat glands opened up and started pouring out when I was sharing my testimony at a church in Africa.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing. Yeah. So it has been a progression, one thing after the next, mm-hmm. a new freedom, a new wholeness, and it just keeps going. And you still have some to go.
Indeed. Yeah. And I was a bit like Naaman, because if you remember Naaman, Elijah had sent his messenger to tell him, go, you know, dip in the Jordan River. But Naaman was offended. He was like, well, I thought, God, you were going to wave your hand and do it a certain way. Because my thing at first was like, hey, praise God, he's able. I'm going to go off medication. Like, I don't need my medication anymore.
Yeah.
And I feel like there was a season of grace with that. That was actually when I was in Africa. But when I came back, I started kind of having some issues and symptoms. And it was like a real humbling thing to be like, I have to go. God, I don't want to do medication. Mm-hmm. But what's really cool, just recently, so I've been praying and I've been asking God, God, would you heal me without having to be on medication? I don't want that thing. Mm-hmm. They came out with a new medication that you take once a year, two times for MS, that you never have to take medication again.
Wow.
So 10 months ago, I took this and I've been off medication. And
Thank
so
you,
I was
Lord.
Like,
yeah. Awesome. I love that.
Indeed.
So you just continue to see a progression.
Yeah.
And you, what are you still limited by anything?
I'd say I'm about, I don't want like putting percentage, but I'd say I'm about at 82%.
Yeah.
So that's incredible. Sense, it's like, incredible. I'm going for the 100.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm not going to give
gonna
up.
We're
going to
believe
but,
with you
yes,
for that
100% you.
All the way. But you are a walking miracle. You really are. The Lord has done this. So
thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. One last quick thing.
Yep.
I did have a spirit-filled pastor who was talking about David, who had danced before the Lord with all his might. And he said, what would God have to do in your life that you would be willing to dance before him? Mm-hmm. And I, at that point, so even when I was in my best shape, I'd go to weddings, I wouldn't dance. I was so like embarrassed by it. And I can remember my cane hanging on the, you know, the chair in front of me. I said, God, if you healed me from multiple sclerosis, that's what it would take, you know, for me to be willing to dance for him. So, you know, I'm not going to dance for you now. Well, no, I'm just kidding. But, you know, daily, that's been a thing. Like, he's done
I've
that.
Seen you dance.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Amen.
Man, thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
Thanks,
Amen.
Eric. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you. That's wonderful. Lynn and Rick, if you guys could come on up. So this couple, I've known for over 20 years. We used to work together. And I haven't seen Lynn probably for 15, though. Yeah. It's been a while. And so they live in the Charlotte area. They drove up this morning for today. I've been planning this day for a long time to have them share. I heard about, well, let me say this. Rick is in construction. And that's what he was doing 6 years ago when we built this facility. Rick came up and hung all these doors. So every door you see in here, Rick hung with help. That's right. But he hung all the doors in this facility. But a while ago, oops, sorry, I shouldn't be talking out of that one. I'll give you that. How's that? I have my own. What is it, maybe 8 years ago? Tell me about an accident that you had.
In 2011, I was working on a bank and a bank building and slid off, and I broke my hip and fractured my heel. I basically shattered my heel. I blew it apart, basically.
So you, how far up were you?
10 feet.
10 feet. When you landed, it shattered your hip.
Yeah.
It shattered your heel and broke your hip.
Yeah.
Okay, so what happened as a result of that?
As a result of that, the doctor, after lots of work and rehab, said, you cannot continue, go back to your job. These are your restrictions for life. Multiple things. Couldn't walk on certain surfaces, had to avoid certain things, couldn't carry over 30 pounds, couldn't stand for long periods of time. That was a restriction.
What would a long period of time be?
Hour or two, I'd want to sit down.
Yeah, and exactly. That's tough in your job.
Just walking around a store, by the time I went out of there, I'd be looking like Festus.
Right.
I remember him.
Yes. So, and you have surgeries to try and repair?
Yeah, I had three different surgeries. And the heel
can't
be healed.
Can we put that photo up of the heel, actually?
Yeah, the heel cannot be healed.
There was your heel. What's going on there?
Yeah, there's 9 screws in my below my ankle, and it was very restrictive. After I went through all that, I could just step on a cord on the floor and almost put me on the ground. It was so painful, and every day was pain.
Yeah,
I'd have trouble getting out of bed. At days, I had trouble going upstairs. I mean, a lot of stuff.
Were you on medication as well during that?
I decided I didn't want to.
Yeah.
I wanted to deal with the pain rather than
so that was
getting medication.
2012?
2011.
So that was 2011 when you had the accident. You have, how many surgeries did you have? was it just one?
Well, I had three.
Okay.
Two on my hip because as my hip healed, my leg actually shortened.
Yeah.
And so on top of the shattered heel, I had to wear a insert in my shoe to keep me from limping
and then
badly.
You couldn't work anymore, or how did that
what
happen?
Well, I had lost my job of 20 years because I couldn't physically do the job. And so I had to find a job where I could just supervise.
Yeah.
Which is what I've been doing.
Right. And then the pain from there, from 2011 on, what was that like?
Well, like I said, just stepping on a cord or soft ground, walking in a gravel parking lot.
Yeah.
Just bumping my foot against a piece of furniture at home, Lynn will tell you, it was like every day I'd be
constantly
making noise.
Yeah, right.
And I couldn't even, at bed, in my bed, I'd have to keep my foot outside the cover because just the weight of the blanket or sheet would cause
that's miserable
pain. And probably every 6 months I would... talk to Lynn about just having my leg amputated.
Because of the pain.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that then went on for around 6 years.
Six years, and then 7 days.
6 years, 7 days. And so into that sixth year or so, Lynn, what was going on inside of you for Rick, for your husband?
Well, it's in the fifth year, actually. Okay. We cry
all the time now. Ever since he got healed, it's just part of the deal. So if you don't like crying, you may not want to get healed. I got really tired of my whole Christian life. I've been a Christian since I'm 15, and I had never seen a miracle. And I believe in these things. And I said, God, what do we have to do? So I didn't know what to do. So I thought, well, I'm gonna fast and I'm gonna pray in tongues. I'm gonna read the Bible. I'm gonna cry out to God and worship Him. I'm gonna do everything that I can think of. I don't know, and that sounds very works oriented, but I mean, I didn't know what else to do. These are the things that I thought I've just got to cry out to Him. And so, how long was I doing that before?
Six
or 7 months, and just...
It's being intentional and really crying out to the Lord. Heal my husband.
I was not doing anything else. Well, actually, I was crying out to Him. That was part of it. I wanted to see miracles, but I wanted Him more in my life, too. I just, I'm tired of this Christianity. I want to be like Jesus.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm so sick of religion. I don't want religion. Yeah. I want the real thing. And I'm probably going on too long, but so I started fasting and, I'll let you ask questions.
No.
I would watch encouraging things on YouTube and I'd share everything that would bless me. I would share with Rick. And so we were just really going after the Lord like never before. I mean, we'd been Christians.
40 years.
Yeah, 40 years. Oh. And it was really like 40 years in the wilderness in a way. We just love the Lord, but we didn't have the power in our lives and we didn't see the miracles I started this fast, and one of the people that I was watching on YouTube was David Hogan, and he raises the dead. I don't know if any of you have heard of him, but he's pretty awesome. And so I was showing Rick videos of him, and we were up visiting Susie and Cameron in Moravian Falls, and I was just talking about, have you ever heard of David Hogan? And she said, oh, he's going to be up here. And I couldn't believe it because, I thought I would never meet him.
He's a missionary in Mexico.
In Mexico. And so it just so happened that on the 40th day of my fast was the day that David Hogan was going to be in Moravian Falls. We didn't know any of this, So we went to that meeting.
And then what happened?
Yeah, so then you tell them.
So we got there, and, I got these privileged front row parking spots at the time, thanks to my placard. Yeah, handicap placard.
Can I say real quick, the orthopedic surgeon said that a shattered heel is the worst bone break you can have. I know he said that you can't get healed from it, but it's the worst one. And he was a really good orthopedic surgeon. Yeah. So anyway.
So anyway, we got there and we went in and we sat near the front. And I didn't even stand up all during worship. I sat there with my shoes off because of the pain.
He's having one of his worst days.
And, you know, just sat there and soaked it in. And at the end, he said, I'd like all the incurables to come forward. And I just sat there because, you know, I was thinking, okay, cancer, you know, blah, blah, blah. And my wife's like, hey, dummy.
Yeah.
I did not.
She didn't call me.
You're incurable.
Right.
Yeah. I felt like a dummy.
Yeah.
So she said, get up there. And so I went up there and I watched him. He started praying at the other end. And by the time he got to me, and I just loved the way he prayed for people, because all he did most of the time was just Jesus. That was his prayer.
Yeah.
The most powerful name that there is. And so he said, is there something you need from the Lord? And I just said, yes. And so he was praying for several people at the same time and just saying Jesus. And so I just grabbed onto him because I wanted to be healed. And actually, what was awesome, 2 weeks before this, we had read a book called Josiah's Fire. But it's about a little autistic boy, and he talks about he was, what do you call it, non-communicative?
Right, non-communicative.
But he was taught by the Lord and by the angels that faith was picture it done. And 2 weeks before my healing, I saw myself running. And, I hadn't been able to do this. I had to.
Did you used to run?
My family would, yes, I was a runner.
He actually was in track as well.
Yeah. I would take my wife and daughter, like to Crowder Mountain. They would go hiking, and I would sit in my car and read, because I couldn't even go up the slope.
Yeah,
It was that restrictive.
Yeah,
and so.
So he comes by.
He comes by. I grab onto him, and so he just says Jesus, moves on. And
that was it.
That was it.
Did you feel anything?
Not immediately, but. Just a few minutes later, I felt and heard a loud pop in my leg, which I thought
you felt it and
kind of weird. Well, to add to the other injuries, 2 years after I did all that damage, I fractured my kneecap. So
same leg?
Same leg.
Wow.
My motto used to be, some guys get all the breaks. That was kind of my story. Not the good breaks.
Yeah.
And I'd had a lot of trouble with my knee, too. It would just catch while I was walking, and I'd have to kick it loose. So, anyway, it popped. And then, like Eric shared, it's like I felt power go into my leg. I thought, oh, this is something going on here. This is interesting. So I started rocking up on my toes, which was very difficult thing for me to do. The restriction in my ankle was, was crazy how little movement I had in it. And so after doing that for a while, I thought, I think we'll go test this baby out. And because I'd heard of other people, you know, they go, do things that they couldn't do. So I went back to the seat. Lynn had her eyes closed, praying. And so I grabbed my tennis shoes, took my insert, and threw it on the floor, put on my shoes, went outside, and ran for the first time in the 6 years. Ran, and then that night.
No pain.
No pain. I didn't run very good because I hadn't done it in a long time. But and then that night we were staying with some friends on a hillside. I got out of the car, ran through the gravel, through the soft mulch, jumped up on their porch, ran inside, and ran up and down their stairs.
Incredible.
Yeah. We lived in a second floor apartment, And I would have to go up the stairs, good leg first, and if I was carrying a bag of groceries, would have to sit it steps ahead of me and work my way up. And so, and then, so every day during those meetings, I'd get out of the car and just run. My son said, "You're like a dog getting out of a car."
Yeah, yeah.
Take off running.
Yeah.
And then
let's show this. Can you go ahead and play this? This is how many days after?
Oh, a week.
A week. Go ahead and play that. No, this is Rick filming himself.
It's a bit cold today, but I just wanted to go running, so bear with me.
It was a week after someone prayed for you, Jesus healed you, and you're running.
Yeah, my biggest concern that day was dying of a heart attack. But I did that video to send to my son, who was working at a college in New York at the time. And he emailed or texted me back. He said, "Dad, you can't do that to me at work." I'm crying in front of my, my colleagues.
It's incredible. Thank you, Lord. Man, thank you, God. Awesome. Thank you for coming up here and sharing that. Yes.
I had a really short thing that I felt like the Lord wanted me to share. It was a year before your healing, a year and a couple of months. I had been on antidepressants for about 20 years since I was, 30-something. And I just decided one day, and I'm not recommending anybody do this necessarily, but I just decided one day to just cold turkey stop, just get off of that. And I was also on pain medication for an injury that I'd had, which I'd also been on that for about 20 years. And I thought, this is not, I don't want to live that way. It was that whole journey of really having a real serious Christianity. And so I just went cold turkey. And so for the first three nights, like demons came to me and I would just I'd leave the lights on because I didn't want that. And so I started playing scripture at night. And so I recommend that because the demons didn't come back. They apparently did not appreciate scripture. But so that was part of it. And I just want to encourage anyone that if you feel like the Lord is just encouraging you to maybe get off antidepressants and just believe him for just to not be depressed like that, that the joy of the Lord really can be your strength and is our strength. It can be done, because that was three years ago, so about a year before your healing. So anyway, I just felt like that was a good thing to
absolutely
share.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, yay!
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, guys. Yeah. Really appreciate it. So here's what I'd like to do as we end here, and I know we went a little bit long today, and that is I want to pray. We want to pray. We want to receive what Jesus has done for us. And so I'd like to ask anybody in here who feels that like they have faith to pray for other people for healing. If you feel like you've got faith to pray for someone else for healing, could you stand and just stay standing? If you feel like you've got that. And also if our ministry teams could come up front, if you're on one of our ministry teams. And I had this feeling, there's no formula to healing. The way that this gentleman prayed for Rick, he said, "Jesus," that was it. You know, sometimes Jesus said, like to that leper, "Be cleansed." So there's not like a lengthy prayer. There's not something you got to say the exact right. That's the enemy works through formulas. That's witchcraft, right? Jesus works through faith and love. And realizing we have this to give away. Whatever he's given to me, I can give away. Whatever he has to give, it can go through me. And I can receive it for myself. So if we have that mindset that he's willing, he wants to. He wants to heal. He wants to heal me. He wants to heal the people that I pray for. And then if we have this childlike faith, and also if we could just do this together, this is not a formula, but I felt like today, if we could ask forgiveness from the Lord, can we all just repent for a moment, of criticisms of other people, of doubt we've had in our own heart, of unbelief, Let's just ask the Lord to just cleanse us of this. Is that right? If you, unless you don't feel that, you don't have to do that. But I was feeling that for me today too. Lord, we just, right now, we just ask you to forgive us of any criticism we've had toward other people, any way we've judged anyone else. We ask that you'd forgive us, Lord, for words and unkind thoughts we've had for others, as you'd cleanse us and wash us clean. Lord, forgive us for doubt, unbelief that we've had in our hearts at times as it's related to healing. Lord, just ask that you'd forgive us and wash us. And Lord, thank you for what you have done for Eric, what you've done for Lynn, what you've done for Rick, what you've done for many, many others in here. Thank you for what you are going to do and what you have purchased for us. In Jesus' name. And so you're forgiven, you're cleansed. There's no blockage, right? We're believing you're a child of God. There's no hoops to jump through. We can release this kingdom. We can speak it. We can pray. And so anybody else now, you see these people, if you're sitting, if you could look around at people who are standing, and if you would like to get prayer for healing, if you need healing in your body, whatever it is, whether it's a soul type of emotional type thing, or it's a physical thing, maybe it's a mental thing, if you would like healing, just look around and spot someone that's standing, and I just encourage you to go ahead and stand right now, and let's go find someone. Go find, just stand right next to them. Stand right next to them. And we're going to pray, and then they're going to pray. And then as we're praying here, this is the close of the service too. You're free to go. Don't forget your kids. There's prophetic ministry out there too, encouraging. But for those in here, feel free to stay as long as you want to. And let's just begin. Lord, thank you for your healing that you have purchased. It's part of your kingdom. It is your will. And we ask, Lord, for healing to happen today. Some, whether it's immediate or it's progressive, that it would begin right now. There to initiate healing in your wonderful, beautiful, powerful, strong name, the name above every other name. We release your healing today in these lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Just release it. Pray as long as you feel an unction to pray and to release. You can go to someone else. I encourage anyone out there for needing of anything of healing, just to go to someone. Maybe you've been prayed for 100 times, 1,000 times so far, and you haven't received it yet. Go back in there. Go back in there. Don't quit. Ask for someone to pray for you.